Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MISC Q3 FY 2020 analyst briefing conference call. Rosanna Hamza from MISC Investor Relations team will run through the agenda for today's briefing. Rosanna, over to you.
Thank you, Arkadin. A very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in our third quarter financial year 2020 analyst briefing. My name is Rosanna Hamza from MISC Investor Relations, and I am your host for this evening. We have with us today Encik Raja Azlan Shah Raja Azwa, Vice President Finance, Encik Azlin Halimi, Head of Financial Reporting, Governance and Budget Finance, Encik Imran Osman, Vice President Corporate Planning, Mr. Vincent Ng, General Manager Corporate Planning, and Encik Suhaimi Saad, General Manager Corporate Planning. We will now proceed with the presentation on financial highlights for the quarter's performance, which will be presented by Encik Azlin, followed by market outlook and business updates by Mr. Vincent. At the end of the presentation, we will open the line for a Q&A session. Our event manager will later provide instructions on the Q&A process. Before we start with the presentation, I would like to bring to your attention to the disclaimer slide. During the presentation, we may make some forward-looking statements in reference to our plans and expectations, and actual results could differ due to unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that are, in many cases, beyond MISC's control. With that, I pass the session to Encik Azlin for our next agenda, the update on MISC's third quarter financial year 2020 financial performance. Encik Azlin, over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Rosanna. Thank you to the participants for joining MISC Berhad's quarter three FY 2020 analyst briefing. I bring your attention to page three of our AB pack. Lower revenue for the quarter, mainly due to the lower revenue from petroleum segment as a result of lower blended TCE for mid-size tankers and VLCCs, as well as lower earning days due to vessel dry docking and vessel disposal. Lower revenue from LNG segment was mainly due to the dry docking activities in the current quarter. However, the above was offset by the higher revenue from heavy engineering, mainly due to the yard suspension during MCO and border restriction in the preceding quarter. Lower PBT from operations during the quarter, mainly due to the lower revenue as mentioned above. For the non-recurring items during the quarter, there was an impairment of FSO, whereas in preceding quarter, there was an impairment of an LNG vessel and heavy engineering impairment, property, plant, and equipment, as well as right-of-use assets. Also, there was a gain on disposal of a petroleum vessel in the preceding quarter. On page four of our AB pack, lower revenue mainly coming from petroleum segment as a result of lower earning days due to lower number of vessels in operations and vessels went for dry docking. Also, lower revenue from offshore due to the reducing finance lease income and contract expiry of an FSO in December 2019. Lower revenue also contributed from the LNG segment, mainly due to the lower earning days following dry docking activities as mentioned earlier. However, the above was offset by the higher revenue from heavy engineering, mainly due to the increased activities in an ongoing project. Lower profit from operations during the quarter recorded mainly due to the lower revenue as explained earlier. On page five of our AB pack on the cash flow from operations. Our cash flow from operations continuously recorded a reasonable level comparing between preceding and corresponding quarters, mainly due to the collection from LNG, petroleum, offshore, and MMHE main business segments. However, the above cash flow from operations for both preceding and corresponding quarter was offset by the non-payment by a client as a result of the ongoing legal case. On page six, our debt balances hovering around $3.2 billion since September 2019. This was mainly due to the quarterly repayment and drawdown for the project, which is in the pipeline. Now, we're moving on to the financial performance by business segment. On page 7, for LNG business, revenue and profit before tax were quite stable between the comparative quarters. The variation in the revenue and profit before tax was mainly came from the dry docking activities which came into those quarters. For petroleum segment, on page 8, lower revenue recorded as compared to preceding quarter, mainly due to lower TCE rates for mid-sized tankers and VLCC, as well as lower earning days due to lower number of vessels in operations as well as dry docking. Lower revenue also recorded as compared to corresponding quarter, mainly due to lower TCE rates for Aframax vessels and lower earning days as explained earlier. However, lower PBT for petroleum segment as compared to preceding quarters, mainly due to the lower revenue as mentioned above. On page 9, for offshore business segment, the revenue reported are quite stable as compared to preceding and corresponding quarters. The main movement on quarterly basis were due to the reducing finance lease income as explained earlier. In addition to profit before tax, the profit before tax was lower as compared to the preceding quarter, mainly due to lower share of profit from joint venture as mentioned in the Bursa announcement. Finally, in the last segment on page 10 for the heavy engineering segment, revenue recorded for both preceding and corresponding quarters mainly from increased activities in ongoing heavy engineering projects. Heavy engineering segment recorded a profit before tax in the current quarter mainly due to the higher revenue as explained above. I will now pass to Vincent for market environment and business updates. Thank you.
Thanks, Eslin. Hello, everyone on the call. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'll take you through on the market environment. Firstly, starting with the LNG shipping market. From the page 12, you can see that we did see some improvement in the spot charter rates for LNG vessels in the third quarter. And this trend has continued into October. We see that the spot rates have been trending upwards even in October. And so this augurs well for the fourth quarter, which is traditionally a strong period for spot rates due to the onset of winter in the Northern Hemisphere. In addition, this year, there has been some predictions of a severe winter. So this is expected to drive further demand on top of the recovering economy, especially in North Asia. So hopefully that will drive more demand for LNG in the winter months. And this would strengthen the charter rate as well. Moving on to slide 13, or page 13. Looking at 21 and 22, you can see that quite a large number of LNG carriers are due to be delivered. In 2020, there were 44, and it goes slightly up to 53 before falling to 29. Due to the relatively large number of deliveries, we see that this will pose some pressure on freight rates for the next couple of years. At the same time, with the ongoing pandemic, we noticed that with the effect on economic growth, therefore, a number of LNG projects that were planned for this or next year may be deferred. And this will lead to a subdued demand for new buildings for LNG vessels over the next couple of years. Nevertheless, I just want to remind that this would not have a significant impact on MIC's LNG performance, as most of our vessels are on long-term charter. Going to page 14, petroleum. After a very strong first half, you can see that the spot rates have plunged in the third quarter and have remained under pressure since then, even up to October. So the tanker market, as you know, has been affected by the lower seaborne oil trade volume, and this has been compounded by the unwinding of floating storage. As more vessels coming out of floating storage will enter the fleet, and thereby increasing competition. We think that the weak market will persist until the end of 2020, notwithstanding that usually the fourth quarter is a strong season, but this year we're not too sure that that would be true. So it would probably be a relatively weak fourth quarter. Having said that, the 2020 will not be such a good year towards the end, although we had a very good first half. We look forward to the medium term. If you turn to page 15, very much we can see that the new deliveries of tankers are tapering down. We had a very large level of deliveries in 2019 that has fallen in 2020 and remain relatively subdued in 21 and 22. So this supply side picture will help a little bit and support the charter rates going forward. The other thing that we are watching closely is on the demolitions, the scrappings of old vessels. You can see here also on the chart on the right that the year to date 2020 has been a very low year for scrapping. In fact, it's been forecasted that tanker demolition in 2020 is set to hit the lowest level in something like 29 years. Right, so some of the reasons include, you know, the very strong charter rates that persisted for the first half, thereby some of the owners have decided to defer scrapping of their old vessels. There was also quite a lot of demand for floating storage. Additionally, in terms of the recycling yards, it was noted that they faced closures during the because of the pandemic, and then there was the customary monsoon season towards the middle and the third quarter of the year, right? The steel scrap prices were also not that favorable, although we see a little bit of that strengthening. So I think this area of scrapping will be watched closely as we go into 2021, and it would also affect how fast the tanker market can recover. Going to page 16, this is to cover the offshore segment. The chart here shows the E&P capex, historical as well as forecasted by IHS Markit. You can see that there's been a significant drop in 2020 for capex and not expected to really recover to 2019 levels at least until 2025. A large chunk of that was due to reduced capex, especially on the North American shale sector. Having said that, we noted that in terms of the offshore FPSO segment, there is still activity, especially around Brazil. And in fact, for Brazil, it's expected to be the largest market by far for FPSOs over the next 5 years, according to analysts. And in addition to Brazil, there will be some opportunities in the other markets as well, although not to that size. That concludes the market environment segment, and I now move on to business updates. For the LNG business, we continue to seek opportunities in conventional and non-conventional solutions. Post the third quarter, we took delivery of our LNG bunkering vessel, Avenir Advantage, that has come into service for our client Petronas, and in fact did its first bunkering very recently. The other thing we took delivery of was our first of our six very large ethane carriers. So as you recall, we announced that earlier in the year, and the first vessel, Seri Averis, has come into service and chartered out to our client Zichang Satellite Petrochemical for 15 years. So the other five are yet will be delivered progressively. In the petroleum segment, the current portfolio mix is 65 term and 35 spot. And you will notice that this has gone down a little bit compared to the previous quarter. Although our VLCCs are still very much in the time charters, a number of our mid-sized tankers have spent more time in the spot market in the third quarter relative to the second quarter. The reason for this is mainly due to the lightering market. The lightering market has been subdued a lot of the midsize tankers are deployed in the U.S. Gulf. And because of reduced refinery activity in the U.S., and also reduced exports from the U.S., therefore, the lightering market was lower in the third quarter, and some of these vessels were therefore deployed to the spot market. In addition to that, we took delivery of the two DPSTs for Petrobras, Eagle Paulinia and Eagle Paraiso, during the third quarter, and this will have entered service for Petrobras in the Brazilian waters. During the quarter, we also sold one VLCC, which is Bunga Kasturi Dua. Going to the next page, on offshore business, page 19. As you already know, the big news in the third quarter was when we won the award for Mero 3 contract from Petrobras, which we announced in August. And this is our first big win for a large-scale ultra-deep water FPSO, and it will be a 22-and-a-half-year charter contract. In the meantime, we still pursue opportunities, although, as you know, the market is quite soft at the moment. In terms of our legal case for Bumusu Kakap Limited, I will not go through in great detail on this one. You can read it on your own in the Bursa announcement. Just to highlight that in terms of the setting aside OS or originating summons, and also the setting aside of SSBC's ex parte award, the court has directed the parties to exhaust exchange of affidavits by November. And we expect that the hearing of the setting aside application to be held sometime in the first quarter of next year. For PCPP and Mombo, again, I will not go into rich detail, so you can refer to the disclosure in our announcement. Finally, I move on to page 22, which is on our heavy engineering segment. As you know, this has been a challenged segment, especially in the second quarter, but it has been recovering in the third quarter. So year to date, we've seen the sail away of our local CBP, as well as sail away of a Bagading Mercury Removal Unit from based on our heavy engineering segment. In terms of marine repair, year to date, we have completed and repair and maintenance of 38 vessels and secured 44 new jobs, as well as completing the conversion works for FSO Golden Star. The order book backlog as of September is ringgit 2.5 billion, and the tender book is ringgit 12.3 billion. Right. So in terms of MHB, heavy engineering segment, they are continuing to pursue opportunities out there, and also looking forward to the completion of Dry Dock 3, which is around before the end of the year, and to come into commercial operation. So in the meantime, they will also be looking at diversifying their income revenue stream into modular fabrication and offshore wind farms. So I think with that, that concludes my session. I'd like to pass you back to Rosanna.
Thank you, SJ and Vincent, for the presentation on financial performance and business updates. With the completion of the presentation, I would now like to hand over the call to the event manager who will guide and manage the Q&A session. Akadin, over to you.
Thank you, Rosanna. We will begin the Q&A session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Please state your name and company you represent before asking the question. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question is from Alex Goh from MBank. You may begin your question, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Susanna, Vincent, and Azin. A few questions from me, please. The first is on the dry docking days for the petroleum tankers as well as the LNG. Could you give us the number of days in the third quarter compared to the second quarter and the third quarter of last year, so that we can actually see the difference and the impact it had on your revenue? At least we can do a bit more clarity on that. The other thing I noticed, your interest charges keep dropping. Quarter on quarter was down 25%, even though your gross debt was relatively unchanged. And I'm you know, it's been a trend like going downward since then. Could you give a bit of clarity on why is that happening? The third question is, could you tell us which FSO was impaired? And I've also noticed that there was also the contract expiry of an FSO. Is that related in December 2019 and the reduced finance lease income? Okay, that's roughly my questions here.
Hi, Alex. Azlan here.
Yeah.
In terms of dry docking days, we're not going to be very specific here, but basically we are looking at the dry docking days for LNG to be less than 50% of what it was in 2019. In terms of the interest charges, which you see dropping, this is mainly because of the LIBOR has reduced immensely over the past 1 year. If I just take 31st of December 2019, LIBOR was at about 1.9%. Today, LIBOR is 0.23%. So this has helped to reduce interest charges during the year. In so far as the FSO that was impaired, this is FSO Angsi, where we made an impairment of about 2.3 million US dollars during the year.
Just to follow up, in your fourth slide, you mentioned that there was an expiry of an FSO. Was that Angsi in December 2019? And where you face reducing finance income. Was that mainly an accounting adjustment?
The FSO that we referred to was FSO Angsi. In terms of the impact of reducing finance interest income, that relates to two of our floaters, and this is the nature of finance lease accounting, where it is on a reducing balance. Every year, the P&L interest that is recognized reduces over time.
Okay. Just to come back on the dry docking days, you mentioned that for the LNG days, what you are expecting the number of dry docking days to be 50% lower compared to 2019. Is that?
That's right.
But shouldn't it be the reverse? Because the revenue drop, that you should mean your dry docking days should have gone up instead.
There were some off hire days due to COVID.
Oh, some days that it was off, not because of dry docking in other words.
Because of off hire
Is that the same also for your petroleum tankers?
It was petroleum tankers was less. There was less of higher days.
Okay, less. But there was also the effect, compared to
the main effect LNG. Was seen in LNG,
I see. Okay. Could you also give us a bit more clarity going into this fourth quarter? Should we expect more impairments to any of your other vessels?
At the moment, we do not expect any. We will be doing that exercise, based on the third quarter assessment, there wasn't any, but we will be, as part of our year-end review, we'll take a look at it again. At the moment, we don't anticipate much. Or if anything, it should be just a small impairment.
Okay. In other words, you've already made much of whatever provisions you've thing you really needed so far, in the first 9 months of this year. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Kong Ho Ming from UOB Kay Hian. You may begin your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the call. I'll have a few questions. If you don't mind for me to go through one by one. My first question is regarding your the petroleum spot mix. And you mentioned earlier that it was due to the low lettering demand, and that has caused your spot mix to be higher. Can I have your outlook for the fourth quarter? I think recently the FMX rate has been going up again. I believe the lettering rate is improving. The lettering market may have been improving. Are you responding to it, or are you still seeing that your spot mix in the fourth quarter is still relatively as high as the third quarter?
You want to take the one question at a time? I think that's easier, right? Hello?
You want me to go through all my questions or how?
No, I think maybe why don't we answer one? By the time you go through a few, maybe we focus on the first question since I'm on the line. The spot mix, I think I don't see that I think the pressure will still be there in the fourth quarter. So I don't know if there could be a little bit of lift due to weather, the seasonal pattern. But it won't be that material. So I wouldn't want to say that, we see that it will be a very strong lift in the fourth quarter. So I think we can't really comment. So this now, I think October rates were pretty low. So I don't know that November and December can be that much better. So if there is a bit of lift, that would be very good. But I wouldn't bank on it at the moment.
Safe to say that your October numbers has not seen much improvement on the lettering side, basically, right? So,
can't comment on our October numbers. I can only comment about the market rates in October, which were quite low generally. So I think the portion of our fleet that is on spot will be affected in that manner.
Okay. And on your time charter mix, right, how many were renewed in the third quarter? In terms of time charters renewed to basically the number of renewals for your petroleum side.
I don't think we want to go into too much detail on that. I think we have a few. Every quarter we do have some renewals.
Okay. So basically, if you go by the vessel segments, right? Your VLCC is still mostly or almost all entirely on the time. If I match in terms of spot mix, it should be a lot more than 30%, right? I guess. And Swissman, is it like 9%, like similar to your second quarter? Can you have a breakdown of that?
Maybe I can share with you, as we have done in the past, I can share with you the mix for each of the classes. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
So for VLCC, during the quarter, the term to spot ratio was 91:9.
Okay.
For Suezmax, it was 81:19.
Okay.
And for Aframax, it was 49:51 term to spot.
51% spot.
So the Aframax, which is the largest part of our fleet, was quite a lot in the spot during the two quarters. That is why that it veered the overall term to spot ratio during the quarter.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'll move on quickly to my next question. The CAPEX that was incurred in the third quarter, is that mainly for the VLECs and is it a portion of your cost you pay from VLECs, or is all being paid for all the six vessels? What is that? Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't quite get that CAPEX.
Correct. There was a jump in your CAPEX in the third quarter. Is that largely for your VLEC?
That is for the VLEC, Kumi. It's for the VLEC. We made some payments for the VLECs, yeah?
So is it all paid or is a progress payment? So meaning we should see more in the fourth quarter until all the vessels have been delivered, is it?
Yeah, there will be further payments in the fourth quarter as well.
Okay, how much was the rating?
Progress payment is a progress, progressively.
Oh. Okay, so out of your total cost, right, is it like one-third already paid in the third quarter? How should we see it?
About a third was paid in the second quarter. In the third quarter, sorry.
Okay. Okay, all right. And you mentioned about the off-hire days in the LNG. I think you mentioned in your Bursa statement that, you know, because this was the pandemic effect, are you able to share how many, how much of the off-hire days for the LNG side, and whether this is going to be recurring in the fourth quarter, or the fourth quarter numbers will be better in terms of lesser off-hire days compared to the quarter?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly wouldn't want this to recur, lah, because this related to some COVID cases. You know, we hope that we will not have to have any recurrence of these off-hire days.
Okay. You mentioned because there were COVID cases, is it? Or was it more like maybe not COVID cases within your vessels, but more of border restrictions? What was the actual reason there?
There was one of our vessels were affected, lah. So that's why it went off fire for, I think, about 10 days or so.
Oh, I see. And okay, but so far has this been resolved already, or is still undergoing quarantine in the fourth quarter?
No, it has already been resolved.
Oh, I see. All right, okay, got it. The next question, you mentioned about the there were some late deliveries of the bunker and FSO in the Bursa statement. Were there any penalties? And are they major? If there are, have you provided for it?
No.
Is it?
Sorry, you're referring to the late release of vessels.
You mentioned that in your statement. Yeah, correct. Just to check. Yep.
We don't see any material impact from that.
So there were some penalties, but not material, is it fair to say that?
There are no penalties. This relates to the our own vessel, which was deployed to the site. Currently, that vessel is a floater in Vietnam, which is currently under commissioning. There are no penalties involved here.
Okay, got it. Last question from me is there was a 13 million impairment on the receivables. That is arising from which project or which segment?
Those were some impairments that we did across the board.
Thank you. Okay, got it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Raymond Yap from CGS CIMB. You may begin your question, sir.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Just three questions for me. The first one is on the dividend. So far this year, you've been maintaining the same level of dividend as you had paid for the first 9 months of 2019. Should we also expect that the final dividend will come to 9 cents, and also that you might pay another special dividend at the end of this year, as you had paid for the last year, fourth quarter? The second question I have is on Sri Balkis and Balhaf. I know that these have left the original employment. What are the developments over there, and is there any chance that it might resume with Yemen LNG anytime? And the last question is on the sale of the Bunga Kasturi Dua. I'd just like to check whether Bunga Kasturi Dua is earmarked for the Nero 3. And if that's the case, is it really a sale or is it just a transfer, internal transfer? Thanks.
Thanks, Raymond, for your questions. On the first question relating to dividend, certainly we hope that we will be able to maintain and provide sustainable dividends for our shareholders. Of course, at the end of the year, subject to our board. In so far as the BK, I'll take the last question. In so far as the BK, this is basically a sale of asset from a petroleum division to the offshore unit. The PK2 is a VLCC vessel which was sold by the petroleum unit to the offshore unit for the Mero 3 project. So it's just intercompany charges.
Right, okay. All right, sure. So it doesn't appear in the financial statements then?
Thank you. Going back, sorry, did you help me
with the three Balkis and Bahav question?
Yeah, the Bahav is currently under charter. There is an existing charter for the Bahav, and the expiry is sometime in 2023. The Balkis is also under charter as well, where it will be expiring towards the end of next year.
Right. So you enter into these relatively long charters on the assumption that the Yemen LNG project is not going to resuscitate anytime soon. But what happens if the Yemen LNG starts firing up again prior to the expiry of these two contracts?
There is a walkaway clause, if I'm not mistaken. In the event that the YNG were to... the parties have agreed that they can walk away if YNG recalls the vessel.
Sorry, say again. So you can walk away from the charter contract?
In the event that YLNG calls for the vessel.
Okay. Sure, thanks. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question, we have Ben Shane Lim from Macquarie. We begin your question, sir.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, that's great. Just checking. All right, thanks for the presentation. Can I just ask about a bit around fourth quarter outlook, starting with the LNG segment? So if you have fewer off-hire days, what can we expect in terms of dry docking days for the fourth quarter? Hi, did you get my question?
Yes, Ben. We you're right. Hopefully there will be no off-hire days, but we expect that during the fourth quarter there would be, maybe about 30-40% of the year will be captured in the fourth quarter in terms of the dry docking days.
Okay, so overall we'd expect the LNG segment to do a bit weaker in the fourth quarter because of the higher dry docking days, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess the incoming VLECs will offset some of that, but they're not going to work that many days in the fourth quarter. So it looks like your LNG will be weaker overall. The petroleum tanker segment, I guess it was sort of asked earlier, but can we expect a higher spot ratio in the, especially among the Aframax in the fourth quarter?
I think we're going to be cautious about the fourth quarter for petroleum.
Mm-hmm. So can we expect the spot ratio to increase? It's out of your hands, right? If there's not much lightering work.
Maybe I'll try to help on that. I think from what we can see, the level of activity is not gone up that much. So, that would hamper any ability to do a lot more lightering. So I think that's very much dependent on our clients at that stage. Yeah. So we don't, like I said in the presentation, I think it will still be a relatively weak fourth quarter compared to previous year.
Okay, but sequentially from the third quarter, putting aside your shuttle tankers coming in, reasonably it can only do as well as the third quarter, right? It's probably going to be weaker.
Very hard to say, Ben. Yeah, because seasonally, we normally there would be a little bit of uptick in the fourth quarter, but this year is an unusual year. So if there were some seasonal impact, then maybe the fourth quarter could be, if it may not match the third quarter, it could be better, but it would be really, really difficult to say at this stage.
Okay, fair enough. But from your comments, it looks also like the at least the FRMX rates have bottomed out, hopefully.
Yeah, we hope so. Yes.
Okay. And then for offshore, I just want to dive a bit into what you're talking about in terms of the legal dispute with GKL. I didn't quite understand your explanation earlier when you went through in terms of exhausting all the affidavits and the set-aside application. Maybe could you just summarize it as what the implications potentially are once these procedural steps are done?
Okay, there are two things happening. One is that we are asking the court to set aside the arbitration award that was given by the arbitral panel, right? So we are challenging the decision of the arbitration. So that's one part of the legal action that's happening, right? So if it's successfully challenged, then it could overturn part or all of whatever was awarded. So that will depend on the court case. And that's the one we mentioned that may go all the way to federal court, depending on, with parties. The other thing is that we are doing is that SSPC has got an ex parte award to actually enforce the offsetting of their daily charter rate against the award. So we have challenged that. So that's the other thing that's happening. So that's part of what we call the ex parte application, and we are asking the court to set aside the ex parte application so that they will stop doing that until the whole court has decided whether the award should be granted or not, and then at that point the payment is made, right? Rather than make the payment immediately, which they are doing by way of offsetting. So I don't know whether that kind of clarifies what you were unclear about.
Okay, so the first one that you mentioned, which may go all the way to federal court, that's the one that would probably take 2-3 years, right, to resolve?
Yeah, depending on what the court decides, and whether everybody, if the loser always appeals, then you could go all the way to federal court. Yeah.
And for the second one, are we looking for a decision in the first quarter, or is that also likely to drag on?
Well, we're hopeful that the hearing will be in the first quarter, the court hearing. Because at the moment, it's just exchanging affidavits, so it's actually part of the process, but it hasn't reached the court for hearing yet.
I see. Okay, so if it's only hearing in first quarter, likely it won't be a decision so soon. Still going to drag on into later next year, I suppose.
I can't comment because our legal team is not with us, but the hearing is when the judge basically hears the case. So I'm not sure whether they can decide on the spot or it needs a few more hearings for decision to be made. That one, unfortunately, I don't have my legal team, so I can't comment on that. Apologies.
Okay. And in the meantime, SSBC is already set. Already offsetting against the charter, right? That's active.
They have started to do so, yes, since this year.
Okay, and so when you publish your cash flow inside these slides and all that, I mean, it's already beginning to reflect in your cash flow. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right, Ben. It's not there.
Okay. All right. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, we have Kong Ho Ming from UOB Kay Hian. Let me begin your question, sir.
Hi, just a quick follow-up, yeah. Why is there a huge drop in your offshore earnings on a quarter-on-quarter basis? I know you mentioned that it's because of the lower JV, but can you maybe clarify that again? Hello?
You're talking about which one is that, Homex?
From offshore.
third quarter from your second quarter and even year on year?
Yeah, the if you look at Q3 last year to Q3 this year, the main reason is basically the lower JV profit.
Yeah.
There was some higher JV profit in last year from our Brazilian JV. Right, and then there was some cost shifted with the acquisition of the vessel BK2 from Petroleum Division.
Okay. But it's also lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis versus the second quarter.
Mainly due to reducing finance lease income.
Is that for which vessel is it? Or is it? Yeah. Sorry?
Which what? Sorry? Vessel.
Which vessel is it? Yeah.
Our Bumusut kakak and Cendol.
But Bumusut, oh, okay. Oh, so the Bumusut kakak
from two.
Oh, I see. So the anniversary was done in the third quarter, is it, for Bumusut kakak, the finance lease?
Anniversary basis. It's like a reducing balance of interest. Similar to how banks will recognize interest income from borrowings given to their clients. It just reduced over time,
right.
The end of the chapter.
So is it fair to say every year during the third quarter is when the Bumusut kakak finance lease would be readjusted, is it?
Every quarter, the finance lease income
will
be...
It reduces quarter-quarter or monthly, but when we look year-on-year, the impact is quite huge.
Sorry, can you say that again? I'm not very clear. Is it every third quarter of the year?
No, it's continuous reducing balance. But when you compare
okay.
The amount of time year on year, it shows a big variance.
Okay, but there was that sharp quarter-on-quarter drop, is it mainly from Bumusut?
Yes, Bumusut and Cendol.
And Cendol, okay. Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have a question from Li Yinling from Maybank. You may begin your question, miss.
Hi, two questions. The first one, can you provide guidance for VLEC, the 5 VLEC that will come on stream next year, first half, which month or quarter will it be?
Yanming.
Yes.
You want to know which quarter in the first half?
Yeah.
I think let me see, most of them will be in the first quarter.
Okay. Secondly, on the lecturing activity at US Gulf, when do you think the refinement will resume back where it used to be?
When? Sorry, again? I couldn't hear you. That was a bit broken up there.
Yeah, so because you say refining activity has reduced and has yet to improve, so would you know when will the refining activity improve or, you know, go back to where it used to be?
I think we don't have a definitive answer to that. It will be gradual. So it depends on how fast the U.S. economy improves. As you know, the situation on the pandemic has recently worsened in the U.S. So that may also affect the pace at which the recovery on the oil demand will happen. So if that can be overcome quickly, or you know, the vaccine and all that are effective, then that will drive a quicker recovery towards oil demand. Otherwise, if the resurgence of the pandemic is not under control, then the refinery activity will definitely be not so fast in terms of recovery. So it's very much dependent on economic recovery in the U.S. and elsewhere. So a bit hard to say right now.
Okay. Thank you, that's all.
Thank you. As we have come to the end of Q&A session, I will hand the session back to Rosanna for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, Akadin. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. On behalf of MIC Berhad, we would like to thank you for your participation. To those who have not received our presentation slides, please do contact us and we will gladly provide a PDF version. To the sell-side analysts, we would appreciate that you forward a copy of your published research reports to the MIC Investor Relations team for our reference. Thank you once again. Stay safe and have a good evening.